Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Well, this hour we'll open up the phone lines. We'll talk about some issues in the news and see what your response to those issues is. And we'll take the phone calls in just a few minutes. I'll mention a few news stories and kind of notable statements that have been made in the past few days. And we'll see where this conversation goes. So call us at 813-239-9663 when you feel like you're ready, or you can email the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. Well, we heard about the preliminary okay for the Pfizer vaccine, and Governor Ron DeSantis says Florida will receive 179,000 doses of the Pfizer vaccine for COVID-19 within a week and use them to inoculate nursing home patients and healthcare workers most exposed to the virus. DeSantis said in a videotaped message that 97,000 doses would go to hospitals in Florida for their most at-risk workers, and 60,000 would go to pharmacies, CVS, and Walgreens to administer in long-term care facilities under state contracts. The remaining 21,000 doses would be administered in the facilities by state-run teams. Body cam video released by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement yesterday shows that officers did try multiple times to contact a former Department of Health employee who the state says posted an unauthorized message about COVID-19 data on a state website. The video released by authorities yesterday shows officers knocking on Rebecca Jones' door multiple times and attempting to call her before serving a search warrant on Monday morning in Tallahassee. Now, Jones helped create the state's dashboard of coronavirus data, and she was fired in May after she raised questions about the accuracy of the data. Jones has not been charged over the alleged unauthorized message. She says she doesn't understand why officers needed to raid her house with guns drawn. Now, Democrats say the raid is an attempt to silence the truth. Here's Democratic State Senator Lori Berman. She said the raid was unnecessary. This is what she said yesterday.
The news that broke earlier this week of the armed execution of a search warrant on a whistleblower and former state employee dramatically illustrates the lengths that the governor goes to maintain his grip on public information. And it's part of a troubling pattern.
That's State Senator Lori Berman. Well, the president's top lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, admitted that he received preferential treatment for his COVID-19 diagnosis because of his status as a celebrity, an acknowledgement that underlines America's unequal access to care, healthcare in this country. We're going to hear what Rudy Giuliani said to the host of his ABC radio show. He was away in the hospital, and he called in to his own radio show earlier this week.
I had very mild symptoms. I think if it wasn't me, I wouldn't have been put in the hospital.
Really?
Frankly.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes,
I mean,
sometimes when you're, you know, you're a celebrity, they're worried if something happens to you, they're going to examine it more carefully and to do everything right.
Rudy Giuliani talking about his celebrity status, getting him perhaps some preferential treatment. He, Ben Carson, Chris Christie, and Donald Trump, all kind of unhealthy older guys, have been given this experimental antibody treatment that's in short supply that some hospitals and states are doling it out by lottery. We're not sure exactly what Rudy Giuliani got. He says he received the exact same cocktail treatment as the president, though he only only used the term remdesivir as one of the drugs that he got. So we're not sure if he got the entire cocktail that President Trump got. But there are some questions about whether or not it's fair that these people that are close to the president and the president himself are getting this experimental treatment that seems to work against combating the coronavirus. So we could talk about that. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Well, new calculations show the world's carbon dioxide emissions plunged 7% in 2020 because of the pandemic. Study says 37 billion tons of the main heat-trapping gas has been put into the air this year. That's down by about 3 billion tons from last year. U.S. emissions are down 12%. European carbon pollution is 11% lower. China's emissions went down by just under 2%. Scientists say the drop is chiefly because people are staying home, traveling less by car and plane, and that emissions are expected to jump back up after the pandemic ends. And again, our phone number, if you want to comment about anything so far, it's 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Audrey in Newport Richie sent in this email. Are there any limits to President Trump's presidential pardons? Is there any way to stop him from abusing that privilege, writes Audrey in Newport Richie. There's probably no way to stop him from issuing any presidential pardons. There are limits on the pardons. He can't pardon, for instance, for a state crime. So there are some limits, but there's probably no way to stop him. So, Audrey, thank you for that. If he wants to pardon somebody for committing a crime or... Perhaps there's some thought about whether or not he'll pardon people for committing crimes that they haven't been charged with. We'll see how it plays out. It's certainly going to play out sometime in the next 6 weeks. Well, Republicans have found a new way to express their loyalty to President Trump. The Texas lawsuit asking the U.S. Supreme Court to invalidate President-elect Joe Biden's victory has quickly become a litmus test for conservatives. Many Republicans are signing on to the case, even though some have predicted that the lawsuit will fail. Here's a report from the Associated Press.
I had very mild symptoms.
106 members of Congress and 17 state attorneys general have signed on to the case. That's roughly one quarter of the U.S. House and attorneys general from a third of all states. The lawsuit repeats false, disproven, and unsubstantiated accusations about the voting in Michigan, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, all of which ultimately went for Biden. And it demands that the High Court invalidate the state's 62 total Electoral College votes. That would set aside the votes of millions of people. Officials from the four states call the suit a publicity stunt. Ben Thomas, Washington.
All right, let's take a phone call from Andy in Dunedin. Andy, thank you for calling into the program. We've just introduced a few topics. What do you think so far?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good stuff to choose from, Rob. Happy Friday, by the way. Last night on PBS Evening News with Judy Woodruff, she had an interview with a top GOP, I'm not sure what his title or his name, I can't recall, but she had an interview with him, and he was really railing against these efforts by Trump and his crew to try to disenfranchise voters and overturn the election. He was really coming out hard against him, and he said a lot of the GOP members just weren't saying anything. And I don't think it's any surprise because they are all fearful of their jobs. And he thinks that after all the dust is cleared and Joe Biden has been sworn in, that a lot of them will start to come out then and start saying things because they'll feel some relief, you know, that they don't feel like they're walking on eggshells right now. But even though he said he voted for Trump and he's voting for the Republicans in this January runoff, I really liked what he had to say. He just really came out and said, this is very dangerous what's going on. And it's just gotten way out of hand. And another, quick, Terry Gross yesterday, on the NPR show Fresh Air had a really good interview that if people can go out there and find it, it should be easy to find on the Fresh Air program. Maggie Haberman, she's a New York Times, Washington White House reporter. Actually, she's been traveling and reporting on Trump for this actually before he even started his election bid. But it's pretty jaw dropping some of the stuff she talks about. And if anybody wants a good listen, go check that one out.
All right, Andy, thanks a lot. And you don't remember the name of the guest? It sounds like Gabriel Sterling from Georgia. The way you describe what he said.
White
guy,
set eyes, heavy brow, yeah. Younger guy, but he's up there in the Republicans, I guess. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about election fraud in just 1 second. So thanks, Andy. And by the way, if you want to listen to Terry Gross's Fresh Air and stay tuned to WMNF 2 at the same time, you can go to WMNF's HD3 channel, The Source, and it's available free. Just go to WMNF.org/listen. And Terry Gross is on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon right here on our HD3 channel, which is our all news and talk channel. We've got four channels. It's really incredible. And I should say that yesterday I was away for an hour, and I put on one of the shows from our HD3 channel, which is Ian Masters' program, Background Briefing. It's on every day at 4 o'clock. He gets some of the top guests in the country to come on his program. He's based in Los Angeles. It's always worth a listen. I always learn something new when I listen to Ian's program at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on HD3. Well, let's talk about the claim by Republicans. Do a little bit more. We heard the Associated Press story, and then Andy called in. Let's talk a little bit more about claims that the election was stolen. Yesterday in Georgia, a Georgia committee, a legislative committee in the House, had a hearing on alleged irregularities in Georgia. Now, this is one of the states that's being challenged in that Texas lawsuit. So the theory is that people illegally voted in Florida, in Georgia rather, therefore the election should be overturned. The election results in Georgia should be overturned. So the Republicans brought a witness in, and the witness alleged that people were voting in two states. And he provided the legislature with a list of 20,000 people who allegedly had voted in two states. So this is the Republican witness yesterday in Georgia. Well, during the five-hour hearing, one Democrat, B. Wynn, who is a Democrat from Atlanta, questioned this guy. And she did her research ahead of time. And this is what she found. And listen to this. This is the Republican star witness yesterday in Georgia who claimed voter fraud, being questioned by Democrat B. Wynn. She's from Atlanta. The allegation is that people were voting in two states. They were voting in Georgia and then voting somewhere else. Listen to this.
I believe Representative Wynn had a comment or a question.
I do have a question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Brainard, I did have a chance to read through your affidavit and look at the exhibits that you attached to the affidavit, and you allege that there are individuals who cast invalid ballots, and you believe the claim you're making is within a reasonable degree of scientific certainty. So I did take a look at the exhibits you attached, and I do want to share with you some of the things that I found that appear to be incorrect to me, and I'll just address these in orders of the exhibit attached, and I'll just, in the interest of time, highlight the most notable things that I found. The first exhibit attached, Exhibit 2, is a list of folks who were registered to vote in Georgia and have subsequently registered to vote in another state. Right off the bat in your affidavit, you testify that you cleaned up the list for duplicate entries, yet on the very first page of the exhibit, there are three duplicate voters. So I am concerned about the duplicate entries that may not have been removed from the exhibits. On that same page, what I did was I just took the first 10 names that were listed that are alleged to no longer be a resident in the state of Georgia. Of those 10 names, I found 8 property tax records that shows the voter still lives at this current address listed under which they're registered in the state of Georgia. They claim homestead exemption on this home as their primary residence, and they pay property taxes on their homes here in the state of Georgia. These are 2020 records that I will be submitting to the committee for review. Of these 10 voters that I researched, I was able to reach one voter on the phone. The voter verified that both he and his wife still live at this address in the state of Georgia, and he has only voted in the state of Georgia. He has a lengthy voting history that I was able to pull as well. From this very same list of individuals, one individual is alleged to be registered in both Georgia and Arizona. I was able to confirm her registration in Georgia and match her voter registration to a property tax record to confirm that she still holds residency in the state of Georgia as her primary residence. I cross-referenced her with Arizona's database, and in fact did find a voter with the exact same name, and they are exactly the same age. However, the voter in Georgia was born January 17th, and the voter in Arizona was born on April 17th. The voter also has a very common name, and I subsequently just typed in her full name, first, middle, and last name. In the state of Georgia, 117 people share this name, according to White Pages. And in the state of Arizona, 54 people share this name. There was another similar scenario with another individual on that same list registered allegedly in both Georgia and Arizona. First, middle, last name, but they have different birthdays. They're different ages. One is age 48, one is age 49. The voter in Arizona has not actually voted since 2016. I'm going to move ahead in the interest of time to Exhibit 4. And you mentioned this earlier, voters who, in your affidavit, you allege that voters are using P.O. boxes to register and disguise P.O. boxes as their residential address to cast invalid ballots. In this exhibit, I immediately recognize one of the addresses. It's right around the corner from which I live, and I have friends that live in this actual building. It's a condo building with units on top, and it happens to have a FedEx center in the bottom of the condo complex. I reached out to my friend that lives there and informed him that both he and his wife are listed on your exhibit as having committed voter fraud by trying to disguise their residential address as a PO box. He subsequently sent me a list of all the homeowners in that same complex, and I cross-referenced them with their voter registration to confirm they live there. And then I also looked on your exhibit, and every single person that owns a condo in that building that voted in this election has been accused of disguising their residency as a PO box. I found a similar scenario for an address that is also an apartment building with a FedEx center in the bottom of the building. I know exactly where that building is because I have friends who used to live in that apartment complex, and a simple Google search will show you in real time that that is a residential apartment building with a FedEx center underneath it. Now, for those two buildings alone, I've identified at least 70 individuals in the first building that are on this exhibit, having been accused of disguising their residential address as a PO box. And on the second list, there are at least 58 folks that are named for that specific apartment complex. In Exhibit 5, this is a list of people who have alleged to have voted twice, one in the state of Georgia and one in a second state. One of the very first names on that list happens to be our colleague, Representative Tyria Anulowitz's neighbor. So we simply picked up the phone and called Representative Anulowitz, and she called the voter. The voter is alleged to have voted in the state of Maryland and also in the state of Georgia. The individual has confirmed that he currently lives in Georgia and has never voted in the state of Maryland. He, in fact, has not been to Maryland in the last year at all. He does have a father with whom he shares the exact same name, a senior and a junior. In another scenario, I was able to find an individual who allegedly voted in Georgia and also in the state of Virginia. The voters share the exact same name and age, but they have different birthdays. The Georgia voter born June 14th, the Virginia voter born June 2nd. On that same list, I happen to notice that one of the
Representative voters, Wynn, excuse me, how many more on your list are
this
there?
Is my last scenario. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt there. This is State Representative B. Wynn, a Democrat from Atlanta, yesterday in Georgia, at a hearing that the Republicans held into possible voter fraud in Atlanta. And they were the committee, the legislative committee in the Georgia House, was presented with a list of about 20,000 people who allegedly illegally voted in Georgia. Now, that was Representative Wynn, who on her own went through the list, not the whole 20,000, but the first few names on the list, and went through point by point to see whether or not people voted illegally. And what she found was, you heard her make the case, people weren't voting illegally. They were misidentified on the original list brought by the Republican star witness. So we've heard all this talk about illegal voting. And when the list of illegal voters is actually scrutinized, we find out that the list doesn't hold up. It's not true. It's not accurate. They get the names wrong. They misidentify people. They make claims that they've voted in Georgia and Virginia, or Georgia and Maryland. Turns out not to be true. They haven't, the voter hasn't traveled to those states. So I'll send you a copy of this. It's a 5-hour hearing, but if you go to an hour and 20 minutes into the hearing, you'll find exactly the questioning by Representative Wynn. And it's pretty amazing stuff. So if you want to see it, I'll send it to you. Just send me an email to dj@wmnf.org. I don't think any website has put that up yet, at least not that portion that you heard there. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. This is Radioactivity. If you want to comment about anything you've heard here, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. Well, Rush Limbaugh earlier this week warned his listeners that competing liberal and conservative ideologies are increasingly incompatible to be in the same country. And he talked about, well, listen to what he talked about. This is Rush Limbaugh earlier this week.
I actually think, and I've referenced this, I've alluded to this a couple of times, because I've seen others allude to this. I actually think that we're trending toward secession. I see more and more people asking, what in the world do we have in common with the people who live in, say, New York? What is there that makes us believe that there is enough of us there to even have a chance at winning New York, especially if you're talking about votes? I see a lot of bloggers. I can't think of names right now. A lot of bloggers have written extensively about how distant and separated and how much more separated our culture is becoming politically, and that it can't go on this way. There cannot be a peaceful coexistence of two completely different theories of life, theories of government, theories of how we manage our affairs. We can't be in this dire a conflict without something giving somewhere along the way.
Rush Limbaugh earlier this week saying that there cannot be a peaceful coexistence between conservatives and liberals in this country. What do you think of that? Our phone number, 813-239-9663, says we're trending towards secession. He says that he and his people have nothing in common with people who live in New York. Keep in mind that Rush Limbaugh used to live in New York, and that New York City was the city that elected Rudy Giuliani mayor of New York. Rudy Giuliani now a star on Fox News and Rush Limbaugh's show. Well, even some conservatives were riled up by what Rush Limbaugh said earlier this week. And let's listen to what Geraldo Rivera said last night on the on Fox News.
Done, but succession, Geraldo, do you think that's a possibility?
I think talk of succession, secession is treason. Well, I want to be very clear. Rush Limbaugh is a powerhouse broadcaster. He's one in a zillion. They come along once a generation. But that talk is reckless. It's irresponsible. That Michigan lawmaker should be impeached. We are one nation, indivisible. I had a laugh. Rush goes on to say that people where he is have no idea what people in New York are thinking. They're so different. They're like a different species. Half of New York lives in Florida, where Rush Limbaugh lives. It's preposterous. Let's get over it. I live in Ohio, red state. I'm strongly supported President Trump, but I'm also pro-gun control, pro-immigration reform. I'm pro-choice. I think that leaders who accentuate the differences and exacerbate the divide are themselves responsible.
All right. That was Geraldo Rivera last night on Fox News blasting Rush Limbaugh. What do you think about what Limbaugh said? What do you think about what Rivera said? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Tim in Tampa. Tim, thank you for calling in. What would you like to comment about?
It's about the voter fraud. I would like to see when the Democrats take over, there needs to be a law that if you disenfranchise one voter, you should be on felony charges. If you take one voter's right away with this craziness of Gregory Palace brought all this stuff up, what they're doing, and I'm glad that Democratic representative did her research, if she did it in that short amount of time, they know what they're trying to do. And that's, there needs to be charges on these people or countersuits, that if you come up here with this and you are wrong, there needs to be consequences, because that's the only way you're going to stop this is you punch a bully in the nose with this craziness. So I would like to see laws passed that anyone who disenfranchises a voter, whether you're a secretary of state, whoever controlling your supervisor of election, if you intentionally disenfranchise voters, there should be charges. That's what I would like to see.
Well, and the U.S. Supreme Court really cut the legs out of the Voting Rights Act, but there are some people in Congress that think that the first order of business when the new Congress comes in next year is to pass a new Voting Rights Act that would include some provisions, as you're suggesting. There
exactly.
are people talking about that already, yeah.
Well, I would like to see that. And the last comment I'm going to make is, we're not going to stop this craziness in America until we deal with the gerrymandering of these states. And that's why they're not afraid of Trump in particular. They're afraid of being reelected in the way these cities have been gerrymandered, where it's so politicized and so structured, they're afraid of their voting base. That's what they're afraid of. So we need to fix that as Democrats and as a country. In order to have fair elections and stop all the craziness, we got to deal with gerrymandering in this country.
All right, Tim, thanks a lot. Thank you for your call. Great to hear from you. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. That means we've got one open line. You can call in right away, 813-239-9663. Cindy Philpott is our phone producer today. And let's go to Dave in Tampa. Dave, thanks for calling. What would you like to comment about?
Hey, good morning, Rob. I don't agree with Geraldo very often, but that is treason, plain and simple. That is straight-up treason. And I'm suggesting that anybody, to all your listeners, if you live in a district, a congressional district, where the member voted for that resolution yesterday to basically overturn our election, that you ought to call their office and speak to the staff and suggest that they resign on principle. Speak to probably a young person, maybe an intern, maybe a full-time person starting their career, but take the opportunity to explain what's happening here and urge them to resign and urge them to urge their colleagues to resign on principle. They should not be working for traitors and people who are committing seditious cowardice to protect their own political careers at the expense of our country.
Well, we've got an attorney general here in Florida who's taken time on the public dime to join that effort to overturn the results in those four states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think all of these folks have disqualified themselves from public office, and I think we all ought to just consider them political pariah from this point forward, in that the young people who work for them, who are starting their careers, it ought to be explained to them why they should not be working for them, because in the long term, I think we're going to look back upon these folks as straight up traitors, the same way we looked upon people who seceded from the Union in 1860.
All right, Dave, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, good to hear from you. 813-239-9663 is our phone number here at WMNF in Tampa. And we're going to bring on a Republican who kind of echoes what Dave just told us, but we'll hold off on that for just a second. Let's take some more phone calls and see what's on the minds of our listeners. Let's go to Terry in Tampa. Terry, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Good morning, Ian. First of all, I'd like to thank you for, being one of the beacons of sanity in a sea of insanity. And I'd like to offer hope. As Rush Limbaugh was saying, I'd like to contrast that with, different parts of America are different for a good reason. And the commonality of America is that, we have a history together. We have from all the states in the Union contributed soldiers and sailors and Marines and airmen to go out and protect the idea that you can be whatever you want to be here in this place, and you're not supposed to be that in any other place, because there's restrictions on, how you dress, how you speak, and your personality. But here in America, the commonality is that we all have the right to be able to say, you know, even the ugly, disagreeable things that Rush Limbaugh says, it's his constitutional right to say those things, and it's our constitutional right as good and reasonable people to reject those ideas and opinion and point to a more rational way. You know, we do have a whole lot in common. Even in the Midwestern and the Southern states, they send their children to the good schools. They, you know, they say, it's good here where I am, but you know what? They send their kids to Cambridge, to Harvard, to Yale, if they can. You know, Florida State or any place of a betterment. And that's another thing about we as Americans. We are supposed to, as Americans, aspire to be better and to do better. And somewhere along the way, it's gotten lost, the point that we are Americans, and there are those of us, me, I have a history of my family has been serving this country for a long time. My uncle died a war hero in Vietnam. I went to service myself in the Army and Navy. My brother is also an airman. I got other families still in there. And so the people that really understand the value of the Constitution, that have sworn to defend it from enemies, you know, domestic and foreign, understand that right now we're at a threat from a domestic treasonous plot to try to tear apart what so many of us value, Rob. I mean, I like driving around and looking at different people and saying, that's a little bit different from me, but, you know, I can appreciate the variation. And
yeah, what you say is so true. I mean, think about the founding of this country. I mean, we had people who were kidnapped from Africa, and we had people that were escaping because their religion wasn't, they weren't able to practice their religion freely in Europe. We had native people here. Their land was stolen, but, you know, we created this country from all these diverse segments of people.
And we're proud. I don't understand this. Like, we're proud to be Americans. Me and my family, I keep an American flag in any vehicle I'm driving in because I'm proud to be an American, because of the idea of a more perfect union, of a place where people can be whatever you are and still serve in a capacity in your community, in your state, or in your government, and not be judged because you're just a little bit different from what some group or some a portion decides that you should be. And Rob, the last thing I'd like to say is that if there's a threat to the Constitution, because there is a Constitution, there is a format for how this society is supposed to operate, and there's a lot of people out here that are going to protect what the Constitution mandates and not allow for some petulant, childish behavior to abort, you know, the history of this great nation. And I love America, and I know a lot of other people do. So watch out, you treasonous bastards. And have a good one, Rob.
All right, Terry, thank you. Thank you. Well, that means we've got an open line, 813-239-9663. Well, Steve Schmidt, who was an aide to George W. Bush and also an aide to John McCain, has left the Republican Party, and he's now part of the Lincoln Project, which is a group of conservatives that are very concerned about the current direction of the Republican Party. He was on, I believe it was MSNBC yesterday, and he was asked about this lawsuit asking the U.S. Supreme Court to invalidate President-elect Joe Biden's victory. And let's listen to a little bit of what Steve Schmidt said yesterday.
Well, you saw it coming this summer, Lawrence, the astounding moment when the Republican platform became nothing more than a loyalty oath to Donald Trump, an oath of obedience, complete obedience to Trump. That's what the Republican platform was. Not even a pretense of policy issues or ideas in it. And so today's a historic day. And I know that sometimes in the instant analysis culture of fast-moving events, we can overstate the importance of an event in the context of the moment and say that this is a meaningful event in history. Sometimes it's obvious. On September 11th, right, for sure, you could say on that day that that was a meaningful event in American history. It was a before and after moment. Today was a before and after moment in the life of the nation. 106 members of Congress broke faith with American democracy today. They did something the fascists, the Nazis, the Confederate Army was unable to do. They forced a majority of elected officials of one of the two major parties in a federal house broke faith with the idea that the people are sovereign, that we're a government of the people, by the people, for the people. Democracy definitionally requires one side being willing to lose an election, to accept the results, to come back the next time in the competition of ideas. And so what we saw today, this breaking of faith, which followed the poisoning of faith and belief in the system, the American system, the American Republic, which has endured since 1776. It was poisoned this month, faith and belief in it. And we're going to live with this now for all the balance, certainly of our lives, Lawrence, because the competition in American politics is now between a Democratic Party, meaning a party that believes in democracy, versus an autocratic party. And we've never seen that. When you see that many members of Congress breaking faith with their oath to overturn an election because they don't like a result, we're off the reservation to a place that we might not be able to get back on it from. And so it's a very worrying moment. And what it means is now we're one election away from losing the country to people who no longer
believe in democracy. That's how he wrapped it up. I'm not sure why we lost the end of it. That was Steve Schmidt of the Lincoln Project last night on MSNBC, saying that those people that have joined the lawsuit asking the U.S. Supreme Court to invalidate President-elect Joe Biden's victory no longer believe in democracy. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663, and our email address, dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Mike in Sarasota. Hey, Mike, thank you for calling. What do you think?
Hey, Rob. I'd first like to say I absolutely love what Terry said. I absolutely love the fact that we have so many different voices in America with different opinions and different ideas, and that's what makes America great. And the fact that I actually agree with Geraldo Rivera scares me. But at the same time, that is part of what America is great, that we can all somehow come together. But what I really called about is I was in Georgia last week when all this broke and they had the trial and all that. And I happened to listen to your version of your show on the NPR station from Atlanta when I was driving to where I was going. And they had the person in charge of the Georgia elections, Republican, pleading with the host, saying, look, I've got people on my lawn. I've got death threats. I've got everybody trying to tell me that Trump won the election. And he said, look, I voted for the guy, just like this guy from the Lincoln Project said. Look, I don't like the result, but I've checked. We've double-checked. This is the truth. Please. And it was amazing to hear this guy's voice on the radio show pleading with the public to say, please leave me alone. We did our job. Down the ticket, if you look down the ticket, Republicans made significant gains in the state legislature and all that. It was just amazing to hear this guy speak.
Mm. Yeah, the two top people in the Secretary of State's office in Georgia have been outspoken about how fair the election was in Georgia, yet they've been inundated with threats. Gabriel Sterling came out with that statement last week that so many people responded to. All right, Mike, thanks a lot.
Have a good one. Thanks.
All right, you too. 813-239-9663. That's the number to call if you want to join the conversation. We're talking about a whole host of things that I brought up earlier. And let's take some more phone calls. Let's go to Patty in Sarasota. Patty, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
I didn't hear the Rush Limbaugh show, but I just heard again what Geraldo said, and that's a perfect scary example of Republicans, true Republicans actually speaking against Trump, the ones that do. So I think the simple truth, this is just my opinion, is you get certain people in a generation, right? Like they'll say, well, Bob Dylan was one of a kind in a generation. Well, we have, since other special dictators from our past, Trump is kind of a one-in-a-kind talent charismatic leader in a generation. So I think the simple fact is that I think the evangelicals need to stand up and see this as almost a deification. And if they were to speak out, or we had someone on the radio as strong, you know, as Limbaugh, coming from the other side, and I'm not saying left, I'm not saying Democrat, I'm saying coming from the other side with facts and truth, with a personality perhaps as bombastic as Limbaugh and Trump, but speaking truth, there would be more people hearing it that could sort of think about it. We have none of that. We have no one standing up. There's too much. It's one thing to be polite and respectful, but you need to stand up and call. If it's a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And not be afraid for people to call you names. We need someone like that on the other side. Perhaps you guys should have a show where you've got people bringing up facts. You could even come, you know, from a spiritual viewpoint, bringing it up against the wrong spiritual viewpoints that justify Trump. Because the danger is he is a fake God.
All right. All right, Patty, thanks a lot. We do try to bring up facts every day. That's what I think everyone or almost every one of our shows does here on WMNF. We do try to bring up facts, but we try to do it without name-calling and emotion. And we're not owned by one political party either. 813-239-9663. Greg writes this, and Greg, if you don't mind, send me the source on this. He says the Florida members of Congress who signed on to the Texas lawsuit include two local members of Congress, Gus Bilirakis and Ross Spano, and then members of Congress from around the state, Mario Diaz-Balart, Neil Dunn, Matt Gaetz, John Rutherford, Michael Waltz, Dan Webster, and Ted Yoho. So that's Greg's email. Greg, thank you for that. Just send me the source if you don't mind. I want to double check it. And then Charles in Tampa writes this. Sadly, Rush Limbaugh is correct. As long as there are voices like his peddling self-righteous speculation, innuendo, outright fiction, his followers will continue to double down on their anti-American sentiments and actions, writes Charles in Tampa. And Patrick writes this, oh, Terry, I love America too, but I hate, I'm not sure he's talking about, hate something just as much, maybe more. Idiocy abounds, the greatest democracy, what a joke, writes Patrick. All right, Patrick, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Lou writes this, advice to Rush Limbaugh, if you don't love America, leave or get out, writes Lou, who's out there in cyberspace. So let's take some more phone calls. We're going to go to Rob in Thanodosassa. Rob, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Rob, very quick, I just wonder if you could address what the substance is of this suit that they're bringing from Texas. I know my phone friend's going on and adamant how blind everything
is. Okay, yeah, and Rob, your phone is breaking up, so I'm just going to drop you. Basically, the suit says the attorney general in Texas thinks that something was wrong with the voting in Georgia and Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, and he thinks the voting was irregular. And he's taking it to the Supreme Court. When one state challenges another state, it goes directly to the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, keep in mind that in every one of these states, there have been lawsuits and court hearings, and evidence has been presented where there was evidence, and apparently there's very little evidence. And the judges have all looked at the allegations and said, there's nothing here. The Trump people have a very low batting average here. I don't think they've won any significant cases. And so because Texas, though, doesn't like the results, he's trying to tell other states how to handle their elections. We have, and usually conservatives are on the side of this, we have states' rights in this country where states can decide their own how to conduct their elections internally, while still respecting the civil rights of everybody, allowing people, you know, for instance, black people weren't allowed to vote in many southern states for years. So the federal government came in and said, you got to allow black people to vote. But most election laws are up to the local states, and the judges in those states have looked at what's gone on in places like Georgia and Pennsylvania, and they say, you followed state law completely. There's no reason to throw out the election results. So Trump, you lose here. And that's what's happened in dozens and dozens of cases around the country. But the Texas Attorney General wants the U.S. Supreme Court to take a look at the issue. And we'll see. I suspect the Supreme Court is going to act today, tomorrow, maybe Monday. They're going to come up with a decision pretty soon because the deadlines are looming, including the Electoral College deadline on Monday. Let's go to John in Tampa. John, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
I agree with that guy there. You have a lot of people have fought for this country. Family members have died. Personal friends have died. And to see what's going on now is bad. But I don't think with Biden in office, if anything, it's going to get worse. You got half the Democratic Party hate this country more than anything else. You got the four AOC and her little friends. They don't respect this country at all.
John, why do you say they hate the country? Give us an example. Tell us why they hate the country.
Well, look all the things they're trying to plan for this country. Take this away, take that away.
Well, what do they want to take away that's important? Do they want to take away racism or do they want to take away the Constitution?
That's the whole thing. If you disagree with them, you are racist. I'm Puerto Rican like she is.
But John, calling somebody a racist, you know, I don't know if they've called you a racist, but what do they want to take away? You said that they want to take away something that's important to our country. Let's just kind of calm down the conversation. What is it that the squad wants to take away?
They want to take more of this country from government, make the government bigger, and you have more socialism. It didn't work.
Well, we have a government. We've had a government for a long time. It was expanded when we had the Great Depression. We're having a pretty serious recession now. Government may expand, but does that mean if government expands a little bit to help people out during a recession, does that do away with the nature of our country? Does that somehow hurt the country, John?
Complete control. I even believe that Trump did win Pennsylvania and Michigan.
Yeah, but John, you know, belief is really a matter of religion or faith. And you said the squad wanted to tear down the country. I'm just still trying to figure out how they want to tear down the country. If they want to build up the government during the recession, even Marco Rubio said the other day something about having a more compassionate nation and having a more compassionate government. I mean, maybe Marco Rubio wants to, you know, have a larger infrastructure bill, but I don't know where you're coming from, John, because if you've got facts that show that the squad want to tear down the country, you really need to present them.
No, let me talk, man.
Yeah, no, please present them. Well, what are the facts that show that the squad want to tear down the country?
Everything they do.
Well, John, that's not a fact. John, if you've got an example where somebody wants to tear down the country, then present it. And, you know, I hope when you call up a radio station, you know, you're going to get 2 or 3 minutes to make your case, and I hope next time you call that you're a little bit better prepared. I don't think that you've got any ammo. I think you're out of ammo there. Doug writes this concerning the mask issue. If for no other reason, I wear my mask in public always because I strive at all times to be a gentleman, writes Doug in Nokomis. Doug, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Joe from Riverview says, I think President Trump and everyone that signed on with him to overturn the election should be tried for treason. That's Joe's opinion in Riverview. Let's take some more phone calls from our listeners, our vast listeners in Polk County and Pasco County, Manatee and Sarasota, Hillsborough and Pinellas County. Let's go to Ray and Brandon. Ray, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I just want to talk about the whole Rush Limbaugh situation.
Sure.
He talked about the divide between the rural and the city. The fact is, the founders dealt with that. You know, the North in those days was very industrialized. The whole South was rural, but they still found a way to make it work. So, I mean, are we so less able than them? Are we unwilling to make the compromises? It just, you know, that doesn't hold water with me. The second thing is the whole succession talk. There was talk of succession when Andrew Jackson was president, and South Carolina was threatening to secede. President Jackson, who was a Republican, sent federal troops to South Carolina to squelch that talk of succession. So we've dealt with that. On the other hand, when James Buchanan was president, there was again talk in South Carolina of succession, and Buchanan did nothing. And then when Lincoln was elected, the South started succeeding, and we ended up in the Civil War. So there are ways that the federal government can and should deal with that talk, if it even gets to that point, which I think we're not even close. So that's all I have.
Well, let's hope we're not close. I mean, I think sending troops anywhere is a bad idea. But, Ray, thanks a lot. Thank you.
I won't argue with you,
Ray. All right, thanks. No, it's a smart call. I think we've got to find places where people calmly talk about issues and listen to smart people talking to everybody and community talking. I think right now what we've got is people that are retreating into their camps, so that if you listen to Rush Limbaugh's show, there's only one kind of person that listens to that show and that calls that show. There's a whole range of media out there in this country. And some media has their doors open. And you can call in. So 813-239-9663. Let's hope to have a smart conversation where people bring facts, are ready to, take on a friendly debate. Let's try to do that here at WMNF. Let's go to Fran in Largo. Hey, Fran, you're on MNF. What's up?
Oh, thanks, Rob. I hope I'm going to be as friendly as you'd like me to be. I think the main thing that's tearing our country apart is this toxic capitalism that we are living under, putting profits before people. It hasn't changed. People, that's America to people like Rush Limbaugh and Donald Trump, and we need badly to change this, and that man that was just knocking the squad, they have tried to address these things about poverty and inequality, and I guess there's still people under the illusion that this is a democracy, but it isn't really with this toxic capitalism we live under. I hope things can be changed with Biden coming in. We need a lot of reforms to things. People are being taken advantage of. People are going to, they're afraid of being kicked out of their homes, and they're hungry. I just heard people, there's been shoplifting, people stealing bread and things like that. And this isn't right in this country. The country to me is equality for all. Just put people before the profits.
Okay. All right.
That's my point.
Fran, thanks a lot. Thank you. Peter writes in to say there is an anti-Limbaugh. His name is Jimmy Dore. And actually, thanks, Peter. Jimmy Dore has a show on our HD3 channel, so you can hear Jimmy Dore twice a week over there on HD3 from Southern California. And he's really fighting on behalf of working people. That's Jimmy's kind of mantra. He talks about working people all the time. Let's go to Jim in St. Pete. Jim, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. The correct word is not treason. Treason is, of course, not possible unless you're at war. But the correct one, and it's been used by the Attorney General of Philadelphia in his response to the Supreme Court, was sedition. And then Steve, it's hard just to beat Steve Schmidt. I mean, what else can you say except he brought it up, and Morning Joe has also used the word sedition. And I think it's correct.
What's the difference between sedition and treason?
Treason, you have to aid the enemy in war. And sedition is trying to subvert the Constitution and the democracy in our country. You know, it's from within trying to destroy what we have, which is clearly what's going on here. The question is, you know, beyond these things, these crazy things, what's really going on? And I have to say the oligarchs who expected a coup, apparently, are not getting their coup. And so you know, we're going to have...
Well, we'll see, if, you know, we'll see what happens in the next few days, especially if Democrats win in Georgia. We'll see if there's an attempted coup. Jim, we're out of time. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the phone call. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in. Janelle Irwin is coming up next with a live program on the Midpoint program. This is WMNF in Tampa. Long-